أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز واعبد وربك حتى يأتيك اليقين صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله we are fortunate we are blessed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this beautiful sacred and noble month of Ramadan a month of opportunities to seek his rewards and blessings to seek his proximity to seek his forgiveness to seek his pardon to once again be worthy to be purified, to enter into the gardens of paradise, insha'Allah al-Aziz. We began our journey on the first of Ramadan, and alhamdulillah, we have come to the peak of our salah, which is the sajda, which we started yesterday, and insha'Allah al-Aziz, which we'll complete today. The sajda, which is the culmination of the entirety of the salah, it is the highest a servant, a slave can ever be, a closest to his master in acknowledgement and surrendering and submitting to him that you have no arrogance, no kibr, you have nothing in your heart or in your mind apart from the love, devotion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for your need and desire to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for your need and your desire to be purified and ennobled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we've learned in our journey the importance of sharing our feelings with Allah Azza wa Jal, of having this intimate and sincere conversation and dialogue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our salah, and how every single position has many deep meanings that we need to uncover. The position of qiyam and how to do it justice, the position of ruku and how we drop our sins away in a state of ruku, and the position of sajda where we are completely and utterly surrendering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on our hands, on our knees, on our feet, our toes, our forehead and our nose. We are submitting in our entirety to the greatness, to the highness and loftiness and the majesty and the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, today we will go to the final position of the salah, which is the position of the jalsa or the sitting, the tashahud position that we do. And insha'Allah al-Aziz, we will do the tashahud today, and hopefully insha'Allah tomorrow we will do the durood. But up until now, it's important for us not to just to come here and feel good about what we hear, but to take those lessons, take those pearls of wisdom, take that knowledge, that ilm, and to truly transform our salah so that we can maximize the reward in our salah. Not just pray for the sake of praying, but actually receive 100% or at least 90% of the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed therein for us. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, in regards to the sajda which we discussed yesterday, mentions that when you prostrate, when you do sajda, this is the closest that you will be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore we should enjoy our state of sajda with Allah azza wa jal. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam also mentions that the more you are in sajda, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises your rank in Jannah, the more that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives your sins. So just like the ruku, we should enjoy our sajda, just like we should enjoy our qiyam. And remember that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his duration of qiyam would be the same duration of his ruku, and the duration of his ruku would be the same duration of his sajda. So we're not just there to robotically pray and do these positions, or to sir marna as we've learnt, or just to peck our heads, but actually to humbly submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, and also with our body. So when you prostrate, prostrate firmly. You know, halka pulka, we just do quickly and get out of sajda? No. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned when you prostrate, prostrate firmly, which means with conviction and sincerity. Then make sure your feet are deeply embedded in the ground, your knees, your hands, your nose and your forehead, and you are completely surrendering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when you rise, i.e. when you come out of your sajda, then you should sit on your left leg. And this is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, as we've discussed all of the other elements of the takbir, raising our hands and showing the palms towards the Qibla, making sure they are level with our earlobes and our fingers are pointing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the heavens, making sure that here this is how we do the takbir. We've done the folding of the hands with the fingers over the arm and the two fingers around our wrist and clasping our hand in the correct way below our belly button. We've done the qiyam of standing just like the letter alif, straight but with a slight bent, leaning towards the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with our head bowed down in reverence and respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly in our ruku, making sure our backs are straight, our legs are straight, there's no bend in our knees, our hands are over our knees and we are stand in ruku, submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly with the sajda, those seven parts that need to be firmly embedded in the ground to remind yourself that you are nothing and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everything, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the highest, His word is the highest, and He is the highest. And hence why we say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, glory and exaltation be to my Lord, my Rabb, my nourisher, my provider, my carer, the one who is the most high, the one who is the most elevated. And vis-a-vis, you are acknowledging that you are nothing in comparison to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you sit after your sajda, then your left foot, as according to the sunnah, should be flat, i.e., and then you should be sitting on your left foot, and then your right foot should be vertical, it should be straight, so the toes should be firmly touching the ground, and the right foot should be erect, and your left foot should be flat, and we should be sitting and resting on our left foot. This is the proper, correct sunnah method way. However, for those people who do have a medical reason, a genuine medical problem which prevents them from sitting on their left foot and prevents them from fully keeping their right foot erect, then obviously those people can, you will see that some people cross their legs in a state of tashahud, or they maybe have their legs towards the side. The salah will still be valid. However, what you are doing is khilaf sunnah. You're going against the sunnah, not following the sunnah. Remember, the whole purpose of praying is because we are praying to copy the blessed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because his ada, his salah, his kayfiyah, everything that he did was approved and accepted and loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want your salah to be accepted and approved and stamped by Allah azza wa jal, then you need to do all of those things that his beloved messenger sallallahu ta'ala wasallam did. So you, where your nazar is, where your eyes are, where they are focused, where your heart is, what you are thinking and your positions, all of these positions are very, very important to get right. So for the youngsters, there's no real excuse. For the elders, if they have a problem, then obviously they can pray and they can cross their legs or have their legs to the side. But for the youngsters who have no difficulty and have no medical reason, then they should, to the best of their ability, even though it may hurt them and say, oh, taklifundi, but no, you have to work through the pain, as they say, no pain, no gain. You have to get through that. And it's not very difficult. You'll become accustomed to it very, very quickly. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, he's sitting. So when you come out of the sajda, so remember we have a sequence going into sajda, that our feet are already there on the ground, then our knees go, then our hands go, then our nose and our forehead, and then the sequence is then in reverse. So then your nose and your forehead come up, then your hands come up, and then your knees come up. So this is also important to remember, the sequence going down and the sequence coming out, so it's just in reverse. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, when he would sit, then his sitting, which is the jalsa or the qa'da which they call, it would be the same length as his sajda. So remember, we've done all this and the importance of making sure all of your body is relaxed in each and every single one of those positions, and especially coming out of ruku. You come out of ruku in your entirety and you straighten your back and you relax your muscles and you say those dua, رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدِ حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِي. You really say this with sincerity and you allow your muscles to be relaxed, and then you go into your sajda, and your sajda should be the same length as your ruku, and then you're sitting down after your sajda should also be a similar length as well, as the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam would do. But majority of people, when they're sitting after they come out of their sajda, they just stay silent. And this is another mistake that they make. So in sajda, when we are in our state of sajda, we should be looking down our nose onto the ground, reminding us of, you know, our nothingness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we come out and we sit down, then our hands should be over our knees. So the fingers should just be going over your knees when you're sitting in that position. And you obviously your left foot is flat and your right foot is erect. And you should be looking in your lap. This is where you should be looking at that particular position out after coming out of your sajda. And then just before you're about to go into the next sajda, then you go back and you look towards the place of sajda itself. So when the Prophet ﷺ would sit after coming out of the sajda and repeating Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, the Prophet ﷺ would then, in this position of sitting, would read this dua Rabbi ighfir li, and he would repeat this Rabbi ighfir li, Rabbi ighfir li, that oh my Lord, forgive me. So this is a very important part that we should try to remember. And there are also other du'as that the Prophet ﷺ taught us. So as I mentioned before, that we should not just suffice with the bare minimum of salah, so just so we can pass our salah, or just so we can have a bronze version of salah. We all need to work harder and harder throughout our entire life to increase the ihsan and the excellence and the perfection and the quality of our salah. So learn these extra du'as, which will enable you to have greater devotion, khushu, and love in your salah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the other du'a that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam taught us was Allahumma ghfirli warhamni wahdini wajburni wa'afini warzuqni warfa'ni, that oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, have mercy upon me. Oh Allah, strengthen me. Oh Allah, raise my rank. Oh Allah, guide me. Oh Allah, pardon me. And oh Allah, sustain me. This is a dua the Prophet ﷺ would do when sitting there in that tashahud position. So ask yourselves now, we just dive in into our sajda and very quickly, get out, and then before our backs are straight in our sitting down position, we go dive back in again. No, remember, every single position, there is a purpose, there is a meaning behind there, and we should be enjoying every single one of those positions. And by you learning this dua, Rabbi ighfir li, or learning this extended version of the dua, Allahumma ighfirli warhamni wahdini wajburni wa'afini warzuqni, this dua, then it will make you enjoy your salah even more and ensure that your body and your muscles are all in the correct position before you go into the next sajda. So again, very important to learn this dua. Even if you can't learn the extended version, you can at least learn the small version, which is Allahumma ghfirli or Rabbi ghfirli. And maghfira is a very important part of the salah. Why? Because salah in its entirety is about you purifying yourself and your actions and your heart, but also seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being worthy of the forgiveness of Allah azza wa jalla, and being worthy of the mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But just to touch upon that word, اغفر لي, so you know how we do istighfar as well, it comes from there. So we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me, which is maghfira means to erase the sin, to remove the sin. This is what it means. And not just does it remove the sin, but when you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you, you're also asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the traces of the sin, and also to prevent that sin and that evil from harming you. This is what you're actually asking in that particular dua. So maghfira comes from the origins of mighfar. Mighfar, okay? And mighfar in the Arabic language actually means metal helmet. What does it mean? Metal helmet. So the people, when they used to go to war, what they used to do, especially our, you know, here in the UK, you have the, they used to wear this whole, the helmet, yeah, so, you know, trying to figure out that word, but anyhow, yeah, they used to wear the helmet when they used to go and ride their horses, etc. So, mighfar is that metal helmet that warriors used to wear to protect themselves. So just the way that the helmet protects the warrior from any attacks, this is how the maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you from your own sins and protect you from the shaitan as well. So it is that shield, it is that protection for yourself and also protection for your heart as well. So it is protecting you and veiling you from your faults and preventing any damage and harm to come to you. So this is what we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just general forgiveness, but actually for protection from our sins as well, and also protection from the shaitan as well, and protection from all evil, so we are safe within ourselves, that we can truly worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So up until now, we've probably considered one thing, which is our qiyam. How many times do we do qiyam in one rak'ah? We only do one qiyam. We only do one ruku. But then when we come to sajda, we do how many sajda? two sajdah. So you may ask yourself, why is it that qiyam is one, ruku is one, but sajdah, there is two sajdah? Why is that the case? And the reason why there is two sajdah rather than one sajdah is because this is the most important aspect of the salah itself. Because remember, this is the closest you can be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the most intimate you can be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many times when we do something once, it's not sufficient. You want to do it again to enjoy it even more, or to benefit from it even more. Hence why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam did not just one sajda, but he did two sajda to show its significance, to show its honor, to show its maqam, and to show its blessings and reward, and this desire to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to taste the sweetness of a salah. But you can only achieve that when you are in a state of sajda. So one is, make sure your salah and your sajda is that of a qualitative nature, and then you enjoy it again by a second time, by engaging yourself even more for a longer duration. It can, in the second sajda, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, that wasjud, again and again, that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the pinnacle of worship? Sajda is the pinnacle of the worship. The masjid is a place of coming and doing sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what does sajda actually do? It brings you qareeb to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Waqtarib. This is what sajda will do. It will bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will take you away from your sins, away from your worries, away from your problems, away from all of your concerns, and bring you into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That same Lord who is Sami. When we say, remember we did Sami' Allahu liman hamida, the one who hears everything, the one who sees everything, the one who knows and acknowledges and knows everything that you're going through, realize, making you realize you are never alone. No matter what is going on in the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. So he's saying in that sajda, when you're repeating it, you're saying, Allah, I want to be close to you. I don't want to be close to the dunya. I don't want to be close to my desires and my whims and fame and power and wealth. I want to be close to you, because with you are all of the treasures of the earth and the universes. With you there is rahmah. With you there is maghfirah. With you there is success. With you there is everything. Everything is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. Everything is in the hands, the dominion, the power, the sovereignty, the treasures, all with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to be in a state of sajda. As we learned yesterday, any khush khabri, any good news would come to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he would stand up and do sajda of shukr. Any problem or difficulty came to him, he would stand up and do sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ease of difficulty and musibah. When the solar eclipse occurred, when the lunar eclipse occurs, go and do sajda and go do ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these acts are there to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the sitting down, after the sajda itself, learn this dua and enjoy every single position, because you, who knows whether you'll get an opportunity to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. You may be praying now, and the next salah somebody may be praying over you. You may not get the opportunity again to pray and again. So make the most of these intimate, these meetings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and use these opportunities to ask Allah for what you need, for your maghfirah, for your istighfar, for your tawbah, for the mercy, for your rahmah, for your af, for all of the things that you need. This is the time to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, even on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be angry with all of creation, how will the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam dissipate and cool down the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He will do the sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that that sajda will be unlike any sajda. It will be the best sajda in the entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will be the most beautiful sajda the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will do to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such that his anger will go, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to his beloved, Irfa' ra'saka ya Muhammad, oh my beloved, oh my Habib, oh my loved one, raise your head. You've done such a sajda that I have forgiven everything, and I am willing to forgive your ummah as well. Ask whatever you want and you will be given that by me. Why? Because of the beauty and the perfection and the sincerity of his sajda. So you can also seek so much from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but perfect your qiyam, perfect your ruku, and most importantly, perfect your sajda. Enjoy your sajda as much as you can, and stay engaged in the sajda with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is where you will get whatever you want. Imagine You ask your parents for something and they can easily say yes or no and say dafa wa da or ask me again. But imagine you going to your parents, holding their leg, grabbing their leg. You going to your parents and surrendering and doing sajda to your parents. I'm not saying you can't do that, but imagine if you did do that. Then what is likely for your parents? Will they more likely accept or reject? Of course they'll accept your plea, they'll accept your imploring, they'll accept everything that you say. Why? Because you have completely surrendered yourself to their mercy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far more merciful than our mothers, far more merciful than all of creation put together. He's only sent one portion of His mercy to earth. And based on that one portion, everybody utilizes that portion of mercy on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reserved 99 portions of His mercy on the day of Qiyamah. And we will be in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy on the day of Qiyamah. But how will you be worthy of Allah's mercy? You'll be worthy of Allah's mercy by doing kasratu sujood. Remember yesterday we discussed how the Prophet ﷺ said that if you want things from me, if you want to be with me, then abundantly and excessively do sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should never be afraid. We should always be eager to do sajda and submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this will bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will alleviate our problems and our sins and difficulties. We will be even greater and higher than the angels, because we are obeying the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But coming now into the shahad position itself. So remember, we're sitting now with our left foot flat, and we're sitting on our left foot, resting on it, and our right foot is erect. Inshallah, we'll do the practical session as well, God willing. And then your hands are just over your knees, and your fingers should just be going over your knees in that particular position. And your back should be straight, very much like the back that you have in Qiyam. So not completely straight with your chest out, remember straight, but with a slight bend, and you are leaning forward towards the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, with your head, should not be completely straight like this, looking forward, but a slight bend, just the way we are in Qiyam. We're looking down and putting our nazar down. Remember how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the nazar of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam on the night of Mi'raj. مَا زَغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا تَغَى. That the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's sight did not transgress any of the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You remain humble and focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, in your salah, in your qiyam, in your ruku, in your sajda, in your tashahud, remain focused and don't look here and there. Don't be distracted, because you know that as long as you are focused, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is focused upon you. When you turn away with your eyes or with your heart, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also turn away as well. So in that tashahud position, make sure your back is straight, but with a slight bend in there, as we've done in qiyam, and your head is tilting down, and you're looking in your jawli, you're looking in your lap, and you're reading that dua, Allahumma ghfirli wa rabbi ghfirli, in the first sitting. And then obviously you do your second sajda, and then after coming out of your second sajda, this is the time when we begin our tashahud. We begin one of the most important and integral parts of our salah, because without the tashahud, your salah will not be complete. Just like without the fatiha, without the surah, without all of these other elements, without the tashahud, your salah will not be complete. So memorizing it, pronouncing it, reciting it with the correct pronunciation, tajweed, is our duty, is our responsibility. Just like knowing Allah's name, pronouncing it in the correct way, knowing the tasbih, the sana, the ta'awuz, the tasmiyah, the basmala, the fatiha, the surah, the tasbihat, subhana rabbiyal azim, subhana rabbiyal a'la. This is our duty. We have to learn this. There's no excuse for us to say, oh, we can't do this. You can. Allah's given you a zaban, Allah's given you akal, Allah's given you ability, He's given you teachers, He's given you ulama, everything is there available to you. How can you still say that, oh, I still don't know how to pray, don't know how to say the salah properly or this dua properly? Our responsibility to make sure we do that. So we begin with the tashahud. And the tashahud is the most intimate meeting that actually occurred between the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam taught us how to greet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to glorify and praise and exalt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to the way that you greet Allah azza wa jal. So it is a very precious moment, it is a very blessed moment, a very intimate moment between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ta'ala. So before the tashahud, the Sahaba ikram actually used to say as-salamu ala Allah, as-salamu ala Jibra'il, as-salamu ala Mika'il. So they used to send salam upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then salam upon all of the angels of Allah azza wa jal. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam said, no, this is not what you say, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-salam. He is the source of all peace and safety and security. So you can't send salam upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no. Read the tashahhud. This is when he taught the Sahaba ikram, just the way he would teach the Quran, and he taught them the tashahhud and the dua that we read, which is At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wat-tayyibat. And this is what we're going to, inshallah al-aziz, discuss today very, very quickly. So the very beginning, we begin with Atta. So the ta is thin, it's not ta, it's not at-ta, it's ta, ta is thin. At-tahiyyatu, and the ha again, which we've discussed, is light. So you're exhaling from your mouth and it's nice and light. Not hiya, that changes the meaning significantly, as does the ta. So at-tahiyyatu, and the ya has to be stretched for its correct duration, for at least a second and a half to 2 seconds. So at-tahiyyatu, again the ta is simple at the end. And then at-tahiyyatu lillah. And remember, we've done the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever Allah azza wa jalla's name has a zabar or a pesh before it, a fatha or a dhamma before it, we say Allah. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name has a zir before it, which is a kasra, then we make it thin. So we say lillah. That's why we say bismillah. We don't say bismillah. Incorrect. How is it that we as Muslims, we can't even say Allah's name properly? Shame on us for not knowing how to pronounce the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, at-tahiyyatu lillahi. So, lam is thin, and we also stretch it for 2 seconds. Lillahi, and the ha is heavy. Was-salawatu, here the sa'ad is nice and round. Was-salawatu, and the wa is stretched again for 2 seconds. Wat-tayyibatu, and the ta'hiya is round again. And we're stretching the ba. Wat-tayyibatu. Then the ta, there's an emphasis on that because you're joining it together because of the shadda. Wat-tayyibatu. So these are the first elements of the tashahud. So what is that? So you're saying all compliments, all forms of greetings, all forms of prayers, all forms of goodness, everything which is perfect, which is sound, which is great, which is majestic, which is complimentary, in all forms of greetings, everything is for whom? None other than for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who deserves all of our compliments, all of our praise, all of our glory, all of our worship, all of our greetings, none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, we like doing ta'rif of our wife. Perhaps we do, we don't. We like doing tarif of other things. Oh, this is a great car. Look how beautiful it is. Look how this it is. We like doing compliments and tarif of other things. But the true one who's worthy of all compliments, of all praise, of all glory, is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how you greet Allah. This is how you directly communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by saying all compliments and prayers and good things and all things which are perfect are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the words of glorification. These are the words of respect, of honor, of compliment, all to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just this one word, at-tahiyyat. All of this is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Was-salawatu. Again, all supplications that we do, all prayers that we do, are only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't pray for any other deity, any other being. Only we pray to, and we send supplications and our prayers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is our master, He is our Lord, He is our creator, and only He is worthy of worship. This is what we are saying, that all forms of ibadat are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All forms of recognition and glory and praises for Allah. All forms of ibadat are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wat-tayyibat, and all good things that you do, every single thing that you could do, that you can present, is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything good within you, everything around you, everything that you can say or do, the best of everything is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first part of the tashahhud, which we do at tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wat-tayyibat. This one part. And then we go to the next part of the at-tahiyyat. Remember, in Fatiha we have two parts. The first part when you're glorifying and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second part of Fatiha when you're asking for guidance and help and all of the other things, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Similarly here, in the at-tahiyyat, you begin by praising and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this gives us a very, very important formula of dua, of supplication, that whenever you want, as taught by the Prophet ﷺ, whenever you want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything, always first and foremost praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then always send durud wa salam upon the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and then ask for whatever you want. Because if you don't praise the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, then your dua, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, will remain mu'allaq. Mu'allaq means it will remain in between, it will remain hanging. It will never reach the heavens. It will never reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Yes, you praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you do not send durud wa salam upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, you can say la ilaha illallah all your life, but if you do not say Muhammadur Rasulullah, then you will not be a Muslim. You will not complete your faith or your iman. So here again, in the Shahud, we are reminded of this very important necessity of, yes, we only pray and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we also remember the one who taught us how to worship, the one who brought us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who showed us Jannah, the one who gave us the Quran. We remember and send salutations and peace and blessings upon him. This is the second part when we say, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So the first part, you are in the realm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but now look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, yes, you have come to me. Yes, you have done your qiyam. Yes, you have done ruku for me. Yes, you have done your sajda for me. Yes, now you have glorified me. Now I want you to go to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us. Because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also teaches us this very thing as well. That if you want the maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then go to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Then, لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. Then you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tawwab and raheem. Why? Because you went to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in their barga, in their court as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, yes, worship and salah is for Allah azza wa jal. But Allah is saying, no, now we need to go to another realm, we need to go to a different place. Then we are transported from wherever we are back to Madinatul Munawwara, back to the most blessed place on earth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that now you go and you say and you deliver your salam to the Messenger sallallahu. So this is the state that we need to be in. Our mind, our heart, our soul, our tawajjuh needs to be to whom? To the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We say, As-salamu, the peace, the most perfect and complete peace and safety and security, all of this blessings which is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say, alayka, upon you, ya Rasulullah. Upon you. And the kaf here is directly addressing you. Just the way I'm speaking directly to Mia Sahib here, you're directly talking to this person. We're saying, alayka, upon you, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm giving you salam. This is what you are saying. So your tawajjuh, your people say, oh, you can't think about anything else in your salah. But everything that we've done up until today, what are we doing? We're thinking about so much, about our feelings, our emotions, our connections, our sins. We're thinking about everything. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you want your salah to be accepted, if you want your tashahhud to be accepted, now think of my beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and send salam upon him. Think about him, imagine him, alayka, upon you, ya Rasulullah. Ayyuhan Nabi, again, ayyuhan Nabi in the Arabic language means, oh, you, the Prophet, the Messenger, the one who gives the knowledge of the unseen and informs people of the hidden and everything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Upon you, O Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of the blessings and the barakat, the salam, the peace, the salutations, everything is upon you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are sending this salam to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Peace be upon you, O Prophet of Allah. Mercy and blessings be upon you, O Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions, he taught us this. And the Sahaba ikram, when they were learning this dua, they said, what happens, ya Rasulullah? Because it's not just a question that we ask now. They said to him, ya Rasulullah, what will happen when you are no longer in this dunya and you return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What will happen then? Because we are saying mukhatab, we are addressing you directly. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, you will still continue to address me because I will be there. I will listen, I will hear your salam, and I will respond to your salam. Not only that, he will hear our salam, it will be presented to him, he'll also recognize us as well. this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah sallallahu ta'ala mentions that no one sends salam upon me except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has returned my soul to me so that I can return his salam. And you only return the salam to the person that you know, that you recognize, that you acknowledge. So in this salah, have this kayfiyyah, just the way we know Allah sees us, Allah hears us, Allah knows us, Allah understands what we are going through, and He knows more intimately than our own whispers and anybody else. We also say and acknowledge that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallama can recognize us by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He hears our salam and He responds to our salam, and He also does dua for us as well. So this is the kayfiyyah, this is the state that you should be in when you say assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Imagine just today, at this very moment in time, that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi sallam is walking through all of these doors of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine him with his imama, his topi, you know, his imama coming into the masjid. Imagine him with his beautiful white thobe. Imagine him with his luminous bright face coming into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his dark beard, with his beautiful smile that will rival even the sun, all of the beauty in the dunya. Imagine the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam coming right now into the masjid. How would you greet him? How would you stand up? How would you smile? How would you embrace him? How would you say salam? This is the same way in your namaz. You say assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You have this conviction, you have this realization that you are saying salam to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who is alive by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like all of the anbiya alayhimus salam. And not just that, He is hearing you, He is listening to you, and He knows who is giving Him salam, and He knows who is giving it purely and sincerely with love and devotion, who is just saying it upru upru, and who is the one who's truly following His sunnah in His salah by performing the qiyam in the correct way, by performing the ruku in the correct way, by performing the sajda in the correct way, by performing the shahud and the qada in the correct way. He will know these things, He will know you. So just the way the Prophet ﷺ will recognize his ummah on the day of qiyamah by the excessive sajood, because of this sujood, remember we discussed that yesterday, and by the excessive ablution as well. Similarly, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam will recognize you. Oh, this is the person who used to send salam upon me all the time, outside of salah, inside of salah, always saying assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the one who used to always say Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin. So think of this, and imagine the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, because this is how we were taught by the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, that continue to send salam upon me as though I am directly there in front of you. I will hear you and I will respond to you, I will do dua for you as well. Have this eagerness, this desire, this yearning to be before the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Try to imagine when the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was about to enter into Madinatul Munawwara. He left Makkah and he was on that hijrah with Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. He went to Quba and he was going to Madinatul Munawwara. Think of the companions as they eagerly anticipated the arrival of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam for several days. They didn't have GPS, they didn't have phone, they didn't know when sallallahu alayhi wasalam was about to come, whether he was injured, whether he was delayed. They didn't know any of those things. But every single day, for several days, they continued to faithfully and sincerely come out to the same place just outside Madinatul Munawwara and wait for the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasalam, wait for his arrival, wait for his coming, so that they could say what? They could say salam to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. They could greet the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And imagine the joy, the felicity, the happiness that overtook them the day that they actually saw the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam. And this is why they said tala'al badru alayna, out of joy, out of this happiness, this eagerness. And they said, wow, this is the best day for us, the best day for all of us in creation. Because why? Because the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has arrived, and they were scrambling to go to meet and greet and say salam to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And do you not also wish that you were there on that day, standing there with the children, standing there with the old and the young, waiting for the arrival of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? You can also have that feeling in your salah as well, if you truly connect your heart to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and say assalamu alayhi عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. But these things take time. This is why if you actually spend time in your salah, in every one of those positions, and think about these things, your namaz will no longer be 3-4 minutes. Your namaz will no longer be 5 minutes. It'll be actually be a lot longer because you're enjoying these things. You're enjoying being with Allah. You're enjoying your time with Allah. You're enjoying the mercy, the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is raising you and your rank, and you're being close to Allah, and you're being close to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So how can you not enjoy your salah? So think twice or 100 times next time you say, "Ajay, dormant again, main char sunta par lawa." Think 100 times before you think anything like that, because salah is not just to be banged out, not just to be banging your head and say, "I've still got 2-3 minutes, but I'll meet you." No, salah is about enjoyment, about lazza, about that sweetness, about taking time and enjoying it. This is what we need to be doing in our salah, spending time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spending time with the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Think about that, you know, the share which they read, "Tala al badru alayna min saniyati al wada, wajaba al shukru alayna mada'a lillahi da." Oh, the white moon has rose over us from the valley of wada, and we owe it to show gratefulness when the call is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the call of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. He called you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the thing, we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the arrival of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Ayyuha al-mab'uth fina ji'ta bil-amri al-muta'. That, "Oh, you have raised among us, oh, you who were raised amongst us, coming with a work to be obeyed, you have brought to this city nobleness. Welcome, best call to God's way." This is what how they greeted the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. How do you greet? Do you just say "Buru buru, assalamu alaykum, you Nabi Ram," or do you actually say it with sincerity? How do you meet your father? How do you meet your wife? How do you meet your loved ones? How do you meet your shuyukh? How do you meet those people that you respect and honor? And the greatest honor after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the respect and reverence that we have and we should have, that we must have, is none other than the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, because it is Allah azza wa jal who chose and selected and perfected and gave us this Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Without him we were in zulumat, and with him we came into the nur. Without him we were destined for the fire of hell, and for him we came destined to for jannatul firdaus. Without him none of creation would have actually come to, but it was for the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of these things. So we need to have these emotions, we need to have this connection with the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam in our salah, knowing that our salam is presented to him, is taken to him, and he responds and he acknowledges this salam. So say your salam with a present heart, say it with love, say it as though he is standing before you, that you, he is there before you, just the way when we pray our salah, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though he is seeing us. And if you are unable to see Allah azza wa jal, then know that he sees you. Even though you are unable to see the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, know that he hears you, know that he can also see you by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the second realm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, "Yes, you've come to me." This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you want all of these things to be accepted. Then the next element of the tashahud is, we say, السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. This is the part when you actually do ask something for yourself. Remember in Fatiha, you praise and glorify Allah, and then you ask something towards the end. Here in At-Tahiyyat, we praise and glorify Allah, then we go to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Now you've done the correct thing. Hun pucho, hun jo mangna mango. There's always a method, there's an etiquette, there's a manner of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you take away the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, then you will not get anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because his Quran is all there about the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. The Shahada is there and mentions the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasalam. The azan, the iqamah, the salah, everything is there, taking us back in this circle. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam takes us to Allah, and Allah says, "Go back to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This is how you can perfect your life. This is how you can perfect yourself as a human being." So then now, in this dua, we say, we're asking something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi s-salihin. Peace be upon us and also on the righteous slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you say this dua, think about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be included in these righteous people. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala mentions that when you say this dua, then all of the righteous things that human beings on earth and all of the angels, they are included in this dua. And then you're doing dua that Allah also includes you and makes you righteous, makes you salih, and gives you this sukoon and gives you this peace as well. This is what you're asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be amongst the salihin, be amongst the righteous, be amongst those people people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember we did in Surah Al-Fatiha, what is in'am? In'am is Sirat al-lazina an'amta alayhim min al-nabiyyin wa-siddiqeen wa-shuhada wa-salihin. This is how you need to work for. You want to be close to the nabiyyin. You want to be close to the siddiqeen and the shuhada and the salihin. Acquire their characteristics of always speaking the truth, or witnessing the truth, or living a life of truth and living a life of good deeds and good actions. This is how you will have the in'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. So in this at-tahiyyat, this is what you are asking. Oh Allah, give me peace in my heart, in my mind, in my life. Oh Allah, make me from amongst the salihin, those salihin that you have already accepted, those salihin that are close to you, those salihin that have been have found success. Oh Allah, make me from amongst the salihin. So this is that dua that you're asking for yourself in that at-tahiyyat, which you need to also do with sincerity as well. Then we come to the final bit of the at-tahiyyat, which is ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasulu. This is the final bit of the dua in at-tahiyyat, which also needs to be pronounced correctly as well, to make sure you stretch all of the things. As I remembered, when you say Allah, then it changes the meaning to Allah. Very, very different when you say there is no God by saying, and if you don't stretch it, you're saying there is another God except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have to be very, very careful. So ashhadu, the ha is heavy. Ashhadu Allah, and you're stretching the la. Ilaha, again the second line is stretching, and ha again is heavy. Illallah, because Allah has fatha before it, and you're stretching that. Wa ashhadu, again heavy. Anna Muhammadan, then not Muhammadun, Muhammadan abduhu wa rasulu. This is the final piece of the dua in at-tahiyyat, where you're saying you bear witness there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you bear witness that indeed Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is the servant and the slave and the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best way to be recognized and to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by your servanthood, by you recognize that you are a servant and slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam? Subhana allazi asra bi abdihi, by his servant, by his slave. This is the way to be recognized. Allah is our master, he's our controller, he's our nourisher and provider, and we are his servants and his slaves, and we surrender and submit to him, and we do whatever he wants and obey him wholeheartedly. And we are saying, oh Allah, we are your servants and we are your slaves, and we bear witness and there's none worthy of worship except for you, and we bear witness that the best slave, the best messenger, the best prophet that you ever sent, and the best person for us to ever follow, and the best form of slavehood that we should have and servanthood is none other than in the example of the messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So when you say these things in your at-tahiyyat, you'll actually realize it takes a lot longer for you to say it, because you're meaning them, you're saying them in sincerity, and you're dwelling and thinking and reflecting upon all of these things, and then and only then will your salah actually come towards its completion and come towards its validity and acceptance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So learn this dua very, very carefully, pronounce it very, very carefully, and reflect upon all of the things that we've discussed by saying At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wa-t-tayyibatu as-salamu alayka ayyuhannabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh as-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi as-salihin ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And then your salah will be complete. So this is one of the pinnacles of our salah, of our tashahud. And inshallah, al-aziz, God willing, tomorrow we'll be able to complete with the durood upon the messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and his family. And also then the dua that you can do for yourself and your family and for anything else that you need. But hopefully up until now, over the last 20 odd days or so, how many days it's been, 25, 26 days, you've been able to learn so much. And inshallah, and perhaps this night of Laylatul Qadr, your salah will be that much more meaningful, that much more sincere and powerful, and you'll be more devout in your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all and bless us all. Ameen. Jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.